these seem to be dry forms of repetitious activity. In reality, it is extremely different, infinitely different. I will use another example. Let's say that we dig on the surface of the earth in an area of rich fossils or a very, very important archaeological site. While the digging is taking place, those on the surface can keep seeing what's being uncovered. But after this excavation goes below the surface, let's say 15 to 20 feet, then for those on the surface, the show is over. They cannot see anything, but for the one who's digging, the excitement is just beginning as he discovers and uncovers new and different hidden treasures. So for the person on the surface, the matter is exhausted, but the one found in the depth of this well continues to encounter one surprise after the other. This holds true, my friends, for the angelic world. Whatever they see in God is inexhaustible because God is inexhaustible. God is forever inexhaustible. As you can see, we become tongue-tied. We don't know what words to use to try to somehow comprehend those things that in reality we cannot comprehend. Here in the earthly reality, we suffer from boredom, a certain dryness. We become tired of the same old services. We start to yawn. We fall asleep. We want a change of scenery because all these repetitive practices create a saturation in the pejorative sense, the feeling that we had enough of this. However, this saturation, this I had enough feeling, is foreign to the heavenly world. We must also add that based on this point, we observe that the knowledge of the angels is constantly and progressively increasing. In essence, the angels had a certain knowledge of God before the incarnation of the Son of God. With the incarnation of the Son of God, the knowledge of the angels was enriched, and this knowledge is constantly being enriched. But as we will see in a few paragraphs, this holds true for the saints. The 24 elders, as I told you at the last session, are the triumphant church, all the faithful who comprise the church in heaven. There, the elders, the church triumphant, will also enjoy increase of the knowledge of God. So here on earth, we grasp a few things, but in heaven, the increase of knowledge will continue forever, endlessly. There is no possibility of knowing enough or reaching a fullness of knowledge. Like we say here on earth, there's so much to learn and then we stop. We learn all we need to know and we're finished. This does not exist in heaven. We also notice that the hymn, Holy, 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 is repeated 3 times. On the one hand, this accentuates the meaning of the holiness of the one sitting on the throne. And on the other hand, it refers to the 3 persons of the Holy Trinity. Now, if we would attempt to diagram this, and I would be mistaken again, I could say, here is the Father, next to him is the Son, and next to him is the Holy Spirit. I'm not exactly correct in saying that. I'm not exactly correct in what I'm stating, but how else can I express this? So it would seem that the angels were saying the first holy to the first person, the Father, the second holy to the second person, the Son, and the third holy to the third person, the Holy Spirit. Consequently, this holy, holy, holy is not only serving to show the intensity of God's holiness, but it is also a revelation of the triune God, that our God has 3 persons, and these 3 persons are forever praised by the cherubim and the seraphim. We can also find this in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, which I suggest for you to read. And this hymn is chanted by the cherubim, and the cherubim appears as they appear in the 1st and the 10th chapter of the vision of Ezekiel. Here in the book of the Revelation, the eschatological sentence, the one who was and who is and who is coming, is added to the hymn. Thus we can observe that the cherubim and the seraphim can chant. What are the seraphim? What are the cherubim? Our church captures this beautifully in the prayer of the thrice blessed hymn in the Divine Liturgy. And we pray this prayer. O Holy God, who restest on your holy ones, who are hymned by the seraphim with thrice holy cry and being glorified by the cherubim. But hymned and glorified means the same thing. The holy writer of this prayer changes the verbs to show that the seraphim and the cherubim say this same hymn, and are worshipped by every heavenly power. So here we have it, not only the four living creatures, but all the angels. And we will also see, my friends, not today, in future classes, we will see that not only the 24 elders are around the throne, but an innumerable crowd. Little by little, this scene increases, grows, becomes enriched, and it expands in an awesome way. And it prepares and forewarns the imagination of the spectator or the listener, the reader of the book of the Revelation. It prepares him slowly so he would not be exposed to this image all at once and be lost by not knowing where or what to look at. So the sacred evangelist places his descriptions very masterfully, one by one. He adds, explains, analyzes, adds, analyzes some more, adds some more, and he presents us with the full picture, the full panoramic view of heaven, the kingdom of God. It is also obvious that this cherubimic hymn of the Divine Liturgy, which we say when we prepare for the great entrance, we who mystically represent the cherubim and sing to the life-giving Trinity the thrice holy hymn, let us now lay aside all earthly care, that we may receive the King of all, and so on. Here we observe that around the holy altar, which is the throne of God, the throne of the slain Lamb of Jesus Christ, St. John the Chrysostom says, the one who sits on this holy altar is Christ himself. So the holy altar is the same as the throne seen by the spectator, St. John. It is the same throne. There where the cherubim and the seraphim encircle the holy altar in honor of the one sitting on it, according to Holy Chrysostom.